Be an imitator and not an impersonator. You see, there's a difference between imitating and impersonating. An impersonator is someone who pretends to be another person.
We'd like to say thanks for joining us for the weekly Beechwood Christian Church podcast with Senior Minister Mark Black.
Chapter 5, 1 through 7. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them.
Thank you, Steve. All God's people say,
amen.
Amen. And Ryan, thank you. I know for your parents, all those years of Mississippi hot dog and go tell Aunt Rhody and grandfather's clock has finally paid off. Beautiful. And thank you so much for sharing that talent. We appreciate that. Well, we've been doing a series of Christian Is, and we're nearing the end of that series, but we still have some more to go. And before we begin today, though, I want to have a word of prayer. Okay, let's pray together. Father God, I thank you so much for your grace and your love to us. Help us to be the people you want us to be. Transform us, strengthen us in your word and in your spirit. And Lord, we pray that Satan will not snatch the word from our hearts, but that you will be glorified and honored, and that, Lord, the word may transform us. Be with me as I speak. And Lord, give me strength in Jesus' name. Amen. I just can't help but remember that plaque that was on our wall. Lord, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me when I've said enough. I keep thinking of that prayer that my mom had, and I thought how appropriate that is sometimes for a preacher, and she didn't even know I was going to be a preacher. So we've been looking at this book, A Christian Is. And Bob Tinsky, or Robert Tinsky, the author, was once again the minister that I had worked with in Tennessee. He has written this book. He grew up in a home where the father was constantly working. His father always worked. And he became a pharmacist in Columbus, Ohio, where he owned and he operated his own drugstore. And that meant that he was there early in the morning till late at night. And Bob said he hardly knew who his father really was. 1932, during the Depression, though, it was nice to have a job when no one else did. And at the age of 12 years old, his mother took Bob aside and said, "Pack your things. I am leaving your father." And so they left. Now, because she had to work, he had a lot of time to be on the streets. And he began stealing. And I thought it was interesting to see what he did. He said he stole milk bottles. During that time, milk was delivered right on your porch. And so he began stealing those things. And then when he began working in the grocery store, he began buying alcohol. And of course, he said it was for his mother. And at age finally 17 years old, he met Bill Headley and Jim Walker. And there he saw what a true Christian was really like. And for the first time in his life, he had good role models. And he became a Christian. Well, one of the things that Bob believes wholeheartedly, and I do too, is number one, Jesus became the supreme role model. He is the role model for everyone. In 1 Peter 2, verse 21, says, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." You know, Christ is the supreme role model. Amen? Many adults, young people, wear bracelets that say WWJD, and I know Danny has one on his wrist. It stands for What Would Jesus Do? If you go down to our youth room where the kids have their worship time, you'll see that on the wall, WWJD. Well, that phrase and that practice is taken from a book that was written by Charles M. Sheldon. It was entitled In His Steps. And what most people don't realize, it was written in 1896. And it became a bestseller. In fact, there were over 30 million copies of this book that was sold. And so we realize that we ask ourselves the question, what would Jesus do? Now, the apostles told the believers to imitate them. Now, the apostles, of course, were those who were under the direct teaching of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 4:15 through 16, we see, "Even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me." That is what Paul said. He had founded many churches, and he said, you need to imitate. If you need a role model, imitate me, because Paul followed Christ. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, let's read that together. "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Very, very easy. You know, as leaders, we imitate Jesus Christ. The elders are encouraged to be examples to the flock. And how important that truly is. In 1 Peter 5, 2-3, it says, and let's read this together out loud. "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording over it those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." You see, as leaders, we are to be examples. Now, as believers, and this is my second point, as believers in Jesus, we are to be imitators of God and Jesus Christ. Paul told us that. Let's read this together in Ephesians 5, 1 through 2. "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us, gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Now, what kind of things do we imitate about Jesus? Well, We're told in this particular passage that we are to love as Christ loved, and we are to sacrifice as Christ sacrificed. How are we doing? Are we loving like Christ loved? Are we sacrificing in our walk with Christ as Christ sacrificed? How did he? He gave his life, right? If you read on in that passage, starting with verse 3, and we can read this together, "But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes upon those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them." And he actually gives us a list of no sexual immorality. He says no coarse or obscene talk. We need to watch what comes out of our mouths. We need to watch how we live sexually. He said no greed, no idolater. Is there anything that we have placed before God in importance? Because if there is, that is an idol. And he said no disobedience. And he talked about the foolish talk. Carol and I was having a discussion about foolish talk. We said, what is foolish talk? Foolish talk leads you to believe that there is a moral problem with that kind of talk. Off color. That kind of thing. Coarse talking. Or he even said, no disobedience. You know, that chapter has a wealth of information for us. And I want to challenge you sometime today just to open it up to the fifth chapter and read through that part in Ephesians. In fact, let me ask you a question here. Look at that. There's a lot of roads to life, isn't there? They're not always marked like that, are they? You know, they may be confused, unsure, lost, unclear, perplexed, distorted, or disoriented, or bewildered, or whatever. They're not always marked that way. And sometimes we're following a person who may be imitating someone, but are they imitating Jesus Christ? Is that person going to be taking you down a road that is a wrong road? I used to have a lot of discussions with our kids. Who are you following? Where's it going to take you? Where are you headed? And it leads me to my third point here. Be an imitator and not an impersonator. You see, there's a difference between imitating and impersonating. An impersonator is someone who pretends to be another person. Now, we have a lot of those. My dad used to love it when we got a new president, because he knew that there were going to be impersonators who will be mocking their style of talk or whatever. And one of the things that he absolutely loved was when he heard the Kennedys speak. And there were many impersonators that came out during that time. Rich Little has done a lot of different impersonations. But do you know who was impersonated the most? Okay, he's a non-president. Elvis. Thank you very much. Yeah, Elvis is probably impersonated more than anyone who has ever lived, okay? And Andrew knew that, right? Your previous minister, right? Because you actually had Elvis on a float at one time. Wasn't that true? Yeah. Okay. Well, Elvis is the one that is probably impersonated the most. You know, it's interesting that we need to be imitating and not impersonating. You know, we're not to impersonate Jesus. We're to be imitators of Jesus. We're to try to be like him and follow his example. There's very few sermons that I remember when I was a teenager. I don't know why. I guess it's part of being a teenager. But very few sermons. But one that I remember was Plastic Jesus. Yeah. I heard this sermon about a plastic Jesus. And I thought, well, what do you mean plastic Jesus? In fact, there's been a number of books written entitled Plastic Jesus. You know, it looks like Jesus, you know, I think. And by looking at it, you might even think it is Jesus, but when you open it up, it's got nothing inside it. Absolutely hollow, empty, not alive. It's just not true Jesus. Now, some people may look like Jesus, but they're empty. They're hollow. They're not alive. And they may even attend church. Yeah, they can attend church. In fact, they might even attend a plastic church. See what that is? It's a building, and you look inside of it, but it's hollow, and it's really nothing. Unless those who are inside are trying to follow and imitate Jesus Christ, it's empty. It's plastic. And by the way, the church is not the building, right? We know that. The church is the people. If a wind were to come over and destroy this building today, we would go, why did we get that roof done? No, we wouldn't do that. we And someone would say, I'm glad it happened before we took the offering. No. If that were to happen, the church would still be here, right? Because you are the church. There's a man by the name of Dr. Paul Brandt. And he became one of the world's most famous surgeons. He was a medical missionary, and he dealt and treated those who had leprosy. And he wrote a book that's entitled Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. Now, his father was also a doctor, and he treated leprosy. His father could have lectured him about how he needed to be a surgeon or a great medical doctor. He could have talked to him about those things, but you know what? He didn't do that. He very compassionately and quietly worked with those who were suffering from leprosy. And it was that example of Dr. Brandt's father that compelled him to be a pioneer in the treatment of leprosy. We need to be examples. We need to imitate Christ. Jesus is our supreme role model. We are imitators of God and of Christ. We need to be an imitator, not a personator. Now, many of you know, I love various books and I love to read. And if you walk into my office, you'll see lots of books, but you'll see a lot of old hymn books. I am fascinated by the songs of the church throughout the ages. And I remember sitting in my home church, and Barney, his name was Barney, really, would stand up and direct and lead the congregational singing. There were songs that we sang that were written by Lisa Hewitt. There were songs like When We All Get to Heaven, More About Jesus, There's Sunshine in My Soul. And in fact, she wrote like 71 different hymns. And you may recall one that I thought was really neat. It was entitled Stepping in the Light. Maybe recall that. That was one that I found fascinating, because the words to that hymn went like this: trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and King, shaping our lives by His blessed example, happy, how happy the songs that we bring. And then the chorus went like this: how beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light. Well, there are other beautiful verses here, and if John Keane was here, he'd be upset with me for not giving all of the verses. But you get the idea. Christ is our example. Let me ask you, are you walking in the steps of the Savior? Are you? Is Jesus shaping your life by being the blessed example? And is He getting in here? Is it coming from here? Sometimes it takes so long to get it from here to here. Are you the light? Are you walking in the light? You know, you can begin that journey, and I'm going to ask the group to come forward. You can begin that journey right now. Maybe you're on the wrong path. Maybe you've taken one of those road signs and you followed someone, but it hasn't been right. You know, people, always take the Word of God and look at it. Or maybe you need to redirect your path. We're going to take this time as an invitation and also a time to pray for someone if you want prayer. Are you walking in the steps of the Savior? Let's stand together. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You, Lord, for Your presence today. I thank You for Your grace. Work in our hearts. Lord, we want to be more like You. May Your Holy Spirit, may Your Word work. May You complete that work in us, in Jesus' name.
Beechwood Christian Church is located at 12950 Easton Street Northeast in Alliance, Ohio. You can find more information about our church on the website at www.beechwoodchristian.org. That's www.beechwood, like the tree, Christian, that's all one word, .org, where you can also subscribe to our podcast and learn how our humble congregation is serving the Lord in Northeast Ohio. If you would like a copy of this message or the whole series on CD, you can find the instructions on the website or email us at sermon@beechwoodchristian.org. Again, we thank you for listening and pray God's blessing on you and your family.